necessarily believe him at this point. He's gone from the king to a drama queen. The throbbing, the swelling, the pain. I finished off some chicken wings.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the man of the hour, Ira Kaufman. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. All the fun is happening with the Sage, the Mighty Sage, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships. And that means something, Ira. That's 65 plus years in Tampa, serving the community, not just customers. Their great charitable work that they do. And of course, they've got a fantastic pre-owned inventory and new vehicles are ready. You can even shop from home. They'll deliver it out to you for a test drive, or if you purchase it, they'll take care of you online or in person. Custom order your Ford now at Bill Curry Ford and you get a $500 gift card just to do it. No deposit. And they've got a concierge assistance for you. 10 years roadside assistance, lifetime warranty nationwide on new vehicles. So many offers. Get to BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. The June offers are rolling out right now. And our buddy, GM Sean Sullivan, fantastic guy. He'll help you personally anytime he can. And you can find him at BillCurryFord.com. Our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira. You know, you're a weather guy, Sage. There's a storm out there. And storm damage, if a tornado kicks up in Pasco or Spring Hill, wherever you are listening, and you get a little damage on your house, don't call your insurance company. Call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. They'll come out, give you a quick assessment, free, an evaluation with technology. And if you move forward with their services, they're going to help you get all the money you need from your insurance company, and they can handle it. Make sure you're taken care of. They have the experience. This is the time of year when you need a plan, and it should include Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Check them out now so you're prepared. Josh Martin Ira, the owner over there, he's got $500 also for anybody who calls him. Maybe it's mold or a fire, flood. Flood is a horrible thing. It happens all the time. Broken pipes all over the place in the Bay Area. Call Florida's Elite Restoration. Say you heard about them from the Sage or Joe Bucks Fan. And if you eventually need their service and you'd mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan, they'll give you $500 back. Maybe that's money for your deductible or just cash back after you pay for them to restore your property. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Sage, we'll talk more about the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Big Storm Brewery, Big Storm Brewing, with tap rooms in Odessa, Clearwater, Amway Center, Orlando, and Cape Coral and Ybor City. But Sage, how are you? I know it's been a rough day.
You know, I'm out with my boys the other day playing my tennis at the rec center. You know, it was windy. The wind was swirling. Some guy hit a deep ball. I'm backing up on it. It keeps creeping up on me. It's hard to judge it. And all of a sudden, down I go, Steve. Down I go. The guys were telling me that I went down in pieces in slow motion, landed on my posterior. Good news, my head never hit the ground, the hard ground, never. But what happens when you fall? You put your hands out. That happened to Joe Biden today. He fell at a commencement address. I noticed he put his hands out. Well, I put my hands out. And of course, you know, Steve, I weigh about 110. And I landed right on my left wrist. And I didn't think it was that bad. So being from Brooklyn, I finished the match. We won. When I got home, I noticed the throbbing, the swelling, the pain. Finally, I said, I got to get this thing x-rayed. And they came up with a small fracture, a very common fracture on these type of falls with your wrist bent. So I'm in a sling, Steve. But having been in a sling, Steve, I still wrapped out a column for you today, hunting and pecking with my right hand. Now, the break is that it's my left hand, and I can still do all the things with my right hand that I normally do, and I'll leave that up to our listeners, Steve. We won't go any further on that. I can still type, and you edited the column, Steve. Did you catch many typos today?
Actually, Ira, a couple of typos in there. You can go back and look. A couple of typos, but we certainly forgive you here. Well excused. It is kind of funny that the president fell the same day Ira did, and Ira takes the injury. But I know you're a little older than he is, so it's understandable, Ira.
You know, they put a sandbag in front of Biden. Who does that, Steve? The man tripped over a sandbag. I don't even have that excuse. I think I tripped over my own feet, Steve, but you know, I'm going to get a cast on it next week, and I'll be good to go, Steve. I can still do what needs to be done, my podcast, my columns, meeting Buck fans in Publix. It's all good, Steve.
So, Ira, just a quick question. Before you headed to the hospital, you come home, it's obviously you're in distress here, pain, throbbing, you know you're injured and it's serious. What'd you eat before you went to the hospital?
I finished off some chicken wings and some mashed potatoes. You know, I need my strength, Steve. I can't go in the hospital on an empty stomach. They took me in, Steve, in the emergency room. You know, there were only a couple of people there. And I said to the woman behind the counter, you know, while she's taking my blood pressure, I said, gee, nice slow day today. Must be nice for you. She goes, you just jinxed us. For having said that, go back to your seat and we'll call you in the back in about an hour and a half. You're at the end of the line now. I think she was kidding. But 3 hours later, Steve, when I was discharged, walked through the same emergency room, people are hanging off the walls. Wall-to-wall people. So I guess it was bad karma, Steve. I got to keep my mouth shut in those circumstances.
Well, Ivor's a trooper and a pro. He finished his game, and he went out and had grub. So he can't be too bad off.
Lee, I was so proud. I said to Steve that I knocked off my column today, you know, using one arm. And I was so sure that I didn't have any typos. And I said, Steve, you edited it, and how clean was it? And Isbeth says, there were a few typos in there, Ira. It shook me to my core over there, Steve.
Calm down, Ira, calm down. Of course, we got plenty to say, and I got a quick question for you on Brady here, Ira, because I'm confused. Brady, you know, did the tour today, little media tour sponsored by Hertz, who he's got a partnership with. He obviously wanted to clear the air on whether he's going to play or not. He wanted to make sure that everybody knew he's not playing. And one of the guys he sat down with was Rich Eisen. And he told Rich Eisen that he is still following transactions and news and what's going on with the teams. But he put it as all the different teams that I've been a part of to follow them. So I'm like, well, he only played for two teams. Does that mean he's keeping track of the Raiders and the Dolphins too, Ira, and in some other rumored situations? I don't know what that means, but bottom line is Tom Brady remains a Bucs fan, remains very interested, yet you know, we haven't really heard anybody talk about Brady. We know Robert Kraft invited him for week one to you know retire his number in a good way and proper goodbye and all that sort of stuff. Brady touched on that.
Well, I told Lee about 6 months ago I was suffering from Brady fatigue. Too much soap opera going around this guy. Giselle, I could care less about what's going on with his marital status. You know, the going AWOL from training camp. I'm retiring. I'm not retiring. I'm going to Kraft's celebration. I'm leaving. Now I got even more Brady fatigue. You know, Lee, a lot of guys quit. I'm looking at a Tim Duncan or something. A real accomplished athlete. Probably a top 10 NBA player of all time. Tim Duncan. And when he quits, you don't hear a peep out of the guy. You know, no soap opera. No, are you coming back? That's it. He walks away. He's had enough. Brady can learn a lot from Tim Duncan. I don't necessarily believe him at this point. Lee, I don't. Wasn't it less than a month ago he had a chance to say that he absolutely wasn't going to play football in 2023, and he declined to say it. So I don't know if he's doing these things on purpose. Lee, he's trying to keep the fires going, the speculation. Maybe lights being in the spotlight. I don't know, but he's gone. He's never going to play for the Bucs again. And as far as Buc Nation is concerned, you know, good luck and goodbye.
Well, you know what that means if Brady goes into hiding, you never hear of him again. You know what that means for Brady, right?
It means he goes into the booth and makes $350 million.
Well, that's not, no, you're thinking opposite. If Brady goes into hiding, you never hear of him again, like Tim Duncan.
Means all his businesses suffer.
Thank you very much. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. So he's very smart. For example, he's not Florio. Florio's the one writing the stories and people at ESPN and The Athletic and you name it. He's not writing those stories. And even if he said he's not coming back, that's not going to stop the stories. But that's right. Good for him. Drama sells, Ira. The NFL learned that. Roselle knew that. Back in the 60s, drama sells. With no drama, you've got the lacrosse professional league.
Well, I understand, Steve. He's gone from the king to a drama queen. That's quite a transition. Would you be shocked if he plays again?
Oh, no. Not at all.
Okay.
All right, Sage, look, one thing that I think is important to address, various people have, and it's sort of interesting, but I think there's an element to it that is getting lost. There was some chatter out there, and now that we're at June 1st, that, hey, if the Bucks wanted to, they could cut Shaq Barrett and save about $14 million on their salary cap. And the question is, I'm not really sure why they'd want to save that cap room this year when they could probably save more next year, but they also would lose Shaq Barrett. And obviously his child just died and he's been a longtime member of the Bucks. It would look awful if you cut the guy. Plus on top of that, his agent's going to, you know, if he doesn't trust the Bucks, he's going to say, hey, we're not clearing Shaq to play until September 1st when his contract is locked in. And then, you know, so you can't cut him because he's injured. There's a lot of layers to it. But what do you think of all that? And you think it's possible that maybe they work something out to say, hey, goodbye, Shaq.
Well, look, saving the money is interesting. But let's be honest, and we always are on this podcast, Lee, they don't have anybody to replace him. I understand he only had 3 sacks last year before he got hurt in midseason. I know that. But Lee, when you think of the Buccaneer defense and the pass rush, you think Shaq Barrett. It's just, that's what you think about. And Lee, if Joe Tryon, Shoyinka was further ahead in his development, or Logan Hall showed anything, maybe coming off the edge, maybe this is a different discussion. Yeah, it was a very serious injury he had, Lee, and there's no guarantee that he's going to be 100%, especially early in the season. But Lee, looking at the roster, looking hard at the roster, do they have anybody to replace him that has shown anything? And you're always big on, you know, don't tell me what you might do in the future. Show me what you've done. Lee, I don't see a replacement for Shaq Barrett coming off the left side. Not the way this team's constructed right now.
Ira, you took the words out of my mouth. That's exactly what I wrote this morning. Let's make the decide to pinch pennies. Where's the sacks going to come from? Joe Tryon? Well, he hasn't done it yet. Logan Hall? Well, he hasn't done it yet. Yaya's flame broiled chicken? He hasn't done it yet. And Bold, he's on a hot seat. What degree of heat? I don't know. So if he decided to, okay, let's get rid of Shaq, and one of these 3 guys will do something, and they don't, and there's no reason to believe that they will, and the Bucks have a losing record of on the Glazers, I'm like, what am I doing here? This guy hasn't had a winning season in 5 years. What's the point? Why are we keeping him around? I don't think Bowles has the luxury of letting Shaq go for his own career and for the Bucks' sake.
What happens if they let him go and then take $10 million and sign Yannick Ngakoue?
That won't happen.
Well, conceivably, that's what if they were to get rid of him, they would use the money and go hire a healthy pass rusher.
I can tell you they're not going to sign Yannick. Just trust me on that. They won't sign Yannick.
Steve, one more point about Shaq Barrett. He had an off year before he got hurt, but here's an intangible about Shaq Barrett that's also hard to replace, especially given this current roster. He attracts a lot of attention, and you're drawing up, you're an offensive coordinator, and you're doing your game plan against the Bucks. You got to pay mind to Shaq Barrett. You're not drawing up something about Joe Tryon Shoyinka. So, without Barrett, Lee, let's be honest. I mean, is there anybody that deserves to be double-teamed? Vita Vea inside? That's about it. I'm with you, Lee. I don't know about signing another guy with money tumbling in from Shaq Barrett, but I don't see this roster being able to afford the departure of Shaq Barrett at this time.
I feel you, Sage. Wanted to ask you that. I mean, I don't think they will do it, and I think they're probably pretty confident that Shaq will be able to contribute. You know, maybe that's wishful thinking, but I had written a while ago, Sage, there were a couple of well-known Achilles injuries recently. One was with David Ojabo from the Ravens, their edge rusher. He was knocked down in the draft in 2022, tore his Achilles March of 2022, went from a first-round pick to a second-round pick. And 7 months later, he was cleared to practice. And next thing you know, he's sacking and strip-sacking Joe Burrow in the playoffs. And he was healthy, pretty much in like 8 months. There's a couple other guys recently as well. Maybe they're feeling good about Shaq, you would hope.
I think the timing's lousy, Lee, for such a move. I think it's lousy. maybe a year from now, if Shaq Barrett doesn't bounce back well for the entire season and he's not the same player, maybe it would make more sense. Then you have a better grasp on Hall and Soyinka, and you know if Cansey's a player or not. But not right now. Too many question marks, Lee. Too many question marks.
I understand about the Achilles, you know, with the guy you're talking about with Baltimore, the running back from Florida State with the Rams. He's another guy. But those guys were in their early 20s. Shaq's 30.
Sage, you wrote about Mike Evans and the red zone and had asked that question to Todd Bowles. It got me thinking a little bit more about the red zone, and I looked into tight ends, Bucks tight ends in the red zone last year. So the combined number on Bucks tight ends last year in the red zone, regular season, was they caught 40% of the balls thrown their way, so 9 catches in 22 throws, and 4 touchdowns and 40 total yards. So 9 catches, 4 touchdowns, 40 yards from tight ends in the red zone. And consider that the previous year, in 2021, Cameron Brate alone, not Gronk, caught 13 of 22 red zone targets for 104 yards and 4 touchdowns in 2021. So he single-handedly blew away all those guys last year. And again, Gronk was down the list, not the red zone target many people might have thought. And of course, last year, Russell Gage led the Bucs in red zone targets. So what does all this perspective here mean to you?
Well, the overview is they stunk in the red zone last year. They did. For a team with Tom Brady taking all the snaps, Evans, Godwin, you know, Gronk wasn't there. All right, it hurts. But they had Brady. They terribly underperformed in the red zone. So you combine that with third down problems, and that's no surprise why they average 18 points a game. Lee, that's why they drafted this rookie tight end. That's why. They didn't draft him as a blocker. Lee, you might be faster than this kid, but he's big, and he scores touchdowns. I'm talking about the kid out of Purdue. That's his role. That's why he's here. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the field more than not when they get into the red zone. It wouldn't shock me if he shows something in training camp and early in the season that he can handle the transition to the pro game. Steve, they realized they had a big problem, not just a tight end, but particularly a tight end in the red zone. And Brate's gone now. You know, you're not going to rely on Cole Keith to get open down there. So this kid's going to get a real opportunity. What a problem it was. You know, Steve, you mentioned that I asked Bowles that question about Evans. And when I found out, Lee, you found out that he won 11 straight games, 11, without reaching the end zone. Can you imagine what was going through Bowles' mind in week 5, week 6, week 7? Where the hell's Evans? I don't know if he said anything to Leftwich. I don't know if he said anything to Brady. But, I mean, one of Evans' fortes is he's a beast in the red zone. At least he has been. What a shocking development last year among many. The disappearing act of Mike Evans. You know, he caught 3 touchdowns against Carolina. Lee, before that, he had 3 on the season. That can't happen.
There was something really screwed up with that offense, and I can't put my finger on it. I don't know if it was Brady, which I that's very difficult for me to say because you look at his numbers. You know, that's not a bad quarterback. Running, no Evans. No, I mean, there was just something really, the play calling, there was something really screwed up with that offense. And I don't know if it was as simple as Todd Bowles told Leftwich to change things and he didn't know how to do it, or Todd Bowles told him to change things and they didn't have the personnel to do it. That's the key thing. You know, that offense was built to throw downfield, not to dink and dunk and control the ball, which is what Bowles wanted to do. There was something royally screwed up with that offense from training camp. And I don't know what it was. I can't blame Brady for taking off 10 days. You can't tell me an uneven game in December is because of him taking a siesta in August. I just don't buy that.
Steve, one point that we don't mention this enough when we talk about the 22 offense and the problems therein. Steve, this is an intangible. It's hard. We don't know that much about it behind the scenes. But, Steve, Arians wasn't the coach.
Bingo.
And I don't know how much input Arians had. And I think his attitude was, Steve, when he stepped down, this is Todd's show. If he asks me for advice, I'll give it. But I'm not going to hang around him. Lee, I kind of think that was Arians' attitude, and in the end, and I'm not blaming Arians about this, but in the end, I think that backfired.
Arians had an edge about him. You know, I'm not saying he would cuss guys out all the time. He wouldn't, but if someone screwed up, he'd get on them, and they knew it. They knew they had to be right. They had to do things the right way, or he was going to call them out. That was gone. So I'm not saying these guys were lazy or undisciplined, but I just don't think they were as sharp. I think that's part of it. And another thing is, there are people that comment on Joe Buck's fan. They're like, why aren't you guys blaming Arians? He waited so long to resign. That's, you know, and I think that's a fair point.
A lot of the players would say that Todd Bowles chews them out, no problem. He just doesn't do it during the games. That's maybe a nuanced difference between the Bowles and Arians. Yeah, that's what the players would say, for whatever that's worth.
All the practices I've seen, I didn't see him jump on anybody on offense, or Leftwich for that matter. I saw Leftwich get into it with Kyle Trask. You know, I'm on the field, and I never heard Leftwich holler at anybody. I never heard Bowles holler, and Bowles isn't a hollerer. And I'm sure, from what I understand, behind closed doors, Bowles will jump on somebody. But Arians, if you effed up, he didn't wait. He was on their tail immediately. Whether it was Scotty Miller always jumping for the ball, or he didn't wait. He immediately took care of it. And I never saw Bowles do that, or heard Bowles do that. And I'm not saying he should have. I'm just saying he didn't. Arians would.
Sage, Antoine Winfield, now you wrote your column and it was nothing new, meaning that we know that he's moved back to free safety and, you know, he was nickel last year. They wanted to use him there. Bowles had said originally or earlier this year that, you know, he couldn't get enough reps to master the position the way we wanted him to. And he did a good job, but, you know, he's more valuable back where he is. And I think that the next step question that really hasn't been asked is, considering that Winfield, how good he is, and that he was a Pro Bowler the year before, and that he's got a lot of big playability, did Bowles screw that up royally last year, and how much did that cost the team?
I'm not sure Bowles felt he had a lot of options at that position. Guys got hurt that might have stepped into that role, maybe a Keanu Neal, Logan Ryan. But the fact is that while Winfield wasn't terrible, he didn't jump out at you at nickel. He didn't. He was in the wrong spot. And yeah, ultimately, that's on Bowles. That's not Nick Rapone's call, the safeties coach, that we're going to use Winfield differently. No, that's Bowles. You know, he's got to take that on himself. By the way, I'm still not sure who the nickel's going to be this fall. We'll see. But it's not going to be Winfield. Lee, one point I want to make about Winfield, Davis, and Dean. Two of those guys are making a lot of money, and Winfield's 1 year away from making a lot of money, and he's not going anywhere. It's going to be as a Buccaneer. I think he's a prime candidate to be franchised if they can't work something out with him. Lee, the years are going by, and I'm getting kind of tired, and I think maybe Buck Nation is. Lee, they keep talking about getting your hands on more balls and takeaways, and Lee, it's not happening. When is it going to happen for Carlton Davis?
I'm just so sick of hearing about turnovers. It's all the way back to Shiano, you know. Shiano had a lot of turnovers, and they got their tails kicked in week after week. So I just super job on the field, you know. I don't recall Carlton Davis having 10 picks when they won a Super Bowl. It's just, you know, Carlton Davis does his job, and it does his job damn well. You know, hey, when you have the ball on offense, freaking score, all right? And, you know, people worried about quarterbacks throwing interceptions. Hey, defense. Do your job. Get off the field. You know, I'm just so burned out on turnovers, 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 turnovers. How about first downs? How about points? How about tackling? You know, play football.
But Lee, over the years, I mean, you know, people aren't making this thing up. Your guy Parcells was big on it.
Football's an easy game. It really is. You block and you tackle, you'll do okay. You'll do fine.
Now, Lee, you got to acknowledge, Steve, in the 2020 postseason, they did generate takeaways. They did.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were critical, like the one in New Orleans, probably the biggest play in the postseason.
Look, this fetish that if you don't have turnovers, you can't win. First off, it's not accurate. It helps, but it's not accurate. And, you know, Tom Brady threw three picks in the NFC Championship game. They didn't lose it. I guess what I'm saying, Steve, is with all the throws that were against the Bucks last year, to come up with 10 picks, that's not acceptable. It's not acceptable.
Would you say, Ira, that part of that reason is they had no pass rush, so to speak?
That's a factor, Lee. It's a factor. As good as Bowles is at disguising coverages, and they came up with, what, 47 sacks, Steve? Not a bad total. But I don't think the pass rush was consistent. Certainly no. In the Dallas playoff game, you know, Prescott had a lot of time, picked them apart. So I think Lee's point is correct. That certainly helps. They don't have a pass rush like the Eagles do. Nobody does. But, Steve, one interception, you know, for Antoine Winfield, he's got to do better than that, Steve. He's got to do better.
I know he got hurt in Cleveland with that stupid-ass overtime game, and that's one thing I will criticize Bowles about. He had no reason to play for overtime, and two of his best players got hurt, Wirfs and Winfield. And honestly, I don't know if Winfield ever recovered.
Yeah, that was a disastrous afternoon in many ways.
Sage, if you're looking for consistency, then you need to go no further than Big Storm Brewing Company in Ybor City. That's where you need to go. Centro Ybor upstairs. Now we got live music Saturday, June 3rd at noon. And then we've got more live music on Friday at 2 o'clock. Excuse me, Friday at 4 o'clock. So you can start that early happy hour, Sage. And then, of course, Saturday night, they come back with even more music kicking off at 8 o'clock. That's Ybor City, Big Storm Brewing Company, huge menu, all the great Big Storm beers, vodka sodas, cocktails. Big Storm Brewery also has tap rooms in Odessa, Clearwater, Cape Coral, and in Orlando at the Amway Center. Find them online, bigstormbrewery.com. We're getting close to an announcement, Ira, for opening day against Minnesota at Big Storm. A couple of cool things planned that we're trying to nail down. So, Ira, I wanted to throw this past you because it's crazy. It's June, but we're marching closer toward our actual firm predictions for the season. You know, it has me deep in study of the other teams in the league, in the division. And so, you know, I'm steadily focused on these teams, Ira. And I'm listening to Mickey Loomis on the radio the other day, and it's very rare for a general manager to be that candid. Flat out said, we're gambling. We're just hoping, gambling, that Michael Thomas can come back from really missing the last 2 years, injury-riddled seasons, and that Marshawn Lattimore can come back from a lacerated kidney and broken ribs last year, missed a ton of games. And he mentioned a couple of other question marks as well. You know, they lost, I think, three guys on their defensive line. You know, what's your thoughts there to hear a general manager come out and say, well, we're putting a lot of gamble that these guys are going to get back to their top form?
First of all, I respect Loomis. I think New Orleans front office league has done a good job. They draft pretty well. They draft pretty well, New Orleans. And that's what's kept them competitive over the years. Of course, along with having a Hall of Famer like Drew Brees. But, Lee, the uncertainty surrounding the Buccaneers, I think it pales in comparison when you look at the Saints. I mean, they got question marks all over the place. Not only the guys that Steve mentioned, he didn't mention Kamara. Who knows what's going on with that guy? Besides his off-field issues, Lee, he doesn't look like the same player. He just doesn't. You know, you list the top five running backs in the league, I don't think he's on the list anymore. He used to be. He might be getting worn down a little bit. Lee, he might be. Yeah, Steve, I know one of the things Loomis said was Cam Jordan's going to be a Saint for life. And, you know, I like that. It's loyalty, two-way street. But the fact is, Jordan's 33. He's not getting any younger. He's peaked. His best years are behind him. He's still a good player. You know, Derek Carr's good. He's not great, Steve. He's not great. He's not a guy that's going to lift an organization. He didn't do it with the Raiders. He didn't. But he's durable. Is he an upgrade on Andy Dalton? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I just don't think the Saints are some kind of juggernaut. I don't see it.
Ira, you brought up Marshawn Lattimore and Cam Jordan. Real quick about Marshawn Lattimore. You are aware that Marshawn Lattimore is banned at Big Storm Brewery premises, right?
Tell me the story there, Lee.
Oh, he's banned. That's the story. He's banned.
I didn't know he had any intentions of going to Big Storm Tampa, Lee.
Doesn't matter. He's banned.
And the reason? The reason?
Because he's Marshawn Lattimore. He's banned.
There you go. There you go.
About Cam Jordan. When I talked to him at the Pro Bowl back in January, he told me something. I've heard this before, prior to Brady coming to the Bucs. Or actually, prior to Brady playing for the Bucs. When he came to the Bucs, I heard this. And Cam Jordan told me something that was very interesting. He said Brady had a habit of making his offensive linemen look better than what they really were. What he meant by that was, look at New England. Whenever an offensive lineman left the Patriots to go somewhere, there's a guy, I can't remember his name, he went to the Giants. These guys fell flat on their face when they left Brady. And what Cam Jordan was telling me, I was asking about Tristan Wirfs, he said, we'll find out this year just how good Tristan Wirfs is. And I don't think he meant that as a knock. I think he meant that as a compliment. We'll find out how good Tristan Wirfs is this year. Now, I don't know about it anymore because he's no longer a right tackle. But I want you to speak to that about Brady and the offensive line. That, you know, people love to holler about the offensive line. Oh, my gosh, they love that. They love that more than drinking cold Big Storm beer. And could it be this year they're going to have plenty of reason to holler?
I don't have any problem with what Jordan said. It's the Brady effect. I think it's real. You look at Shaq Mason, maybe as a prime example. You know, the Bucs showed their true colors last year with the offense, and obviously Mason didn't show up that well on tape. I thought he was okay in right guard. I thought he was okay.
Well, Jordan's point was guys who play for Brady are better than what they actually are when they leave Brady. And Shaq Mason played for Brady. So I don't know if that's a great example there, Ira.
Well, I think according to that logic, you know, Shaq Mason's just going to be a guy next year. And that might happen. But I understand his point. You know, I don't want to use Logan Mankins as an example, guys, because he was at the end of the line with the Bucs. I thought he played decent with the Bucs. I didn't think he was bad, Logan Mankins, when he left Brady's side in New England. But, you know, instead of, Lee, instead of looking at offensive linemen under Brady being overvalued, I think wide receiver is much more on target. You've heard me talk about it, Lee. And I'm not talking about Randy Moss, obviously. Obviously not.
Yeah, well,
maybe not even Wes Welker, but Steve, some of those guys, that Chris Hogan guy that people were getting excited about in New England, caused a little fanfare, and then he left Brady's side, and you never heard from him again. I think there's something to that Brady effect, but I don't have any doubts about Tristan Wirfs. I don't think that's going to hold for Tristan Wirfs. He's great. I don't care if Isbitz is the quarterback. Tristan Wirfs is going to block out the sun.
One of the reasons why the Jordan thing, his comments, I thought was interesting, outside on face value. I remember when Brady came to the Bucs, and right away Pat Kerwin gets on SiriusXM NFL radio. He said, Bucs offensive line just got X amount better. And he explained why. And he said, Brady is excellent at recognizing defenses and changing assignments at the line. And he said, just Brady being behind the center makes an offensive line X amount better.
To that point, Steve, Donovan Smith and Ryan Jensen, I think both upgraded their game markedly those first 2 years under Tom Brady. I think that's fair to say, Steve.
Smith sure did.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes back for me because we're trying to stay in the present. What happened last year, we still don't know. Because Brady's ability to check to a run play at just the right time and read the defense, well, I don't think that was working too well, unless you don't think they had the talent and they had a lot of the same talent. So it's a little messy and murky for me, but we'll have to see where that goes. Ira, one last question for you as we get out here on a short edition of the Sages podcast. If you missed the last one, it's at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, much longer, close to an hour on that one. So catch up there. Sage, Tyler Johnson signs with the Rams, bounces around again, gets a deal with the Rams. Brashad Perriman, Julio Jones, still on the street. What's your thought there?
I don't think Tyler Johnson's going to make it. I think the Bucs gave him plenty of opportunities. I just don't think he's going to make it, even though he might be playing with Cooper Kupp, who demands constant double-teaming. Nobody's going to pay any attention to Tyler Johnson. They're not going to scheme for him. But I think he's had his shot. If he hasn't made it by now, I don't see him doing it somewhere else. Julio Jones, Lee, and I take no great delight in saying it. I think he's done. Lee, yeah. I think he's basically done. Some guy that I know very well in Atlanta and watched Julio Jones closely, when he joined the Bucs, he told me that the guy can't stay on the field. And he was right. And I think that's the – he's probably not going to join a team this year, Lee. He's probably done. But he's going to Hall of Fame, and he deserves it. He mm-hmm. deserves it. You know the one funny thing about Julio Jones, Lee, and I really can't explain it, and I've said it before, you know, yards per game, receiving yards per game, big category. I think he's number one all time. Number one.
Really?
All the players that have ever played in the National Football League. Number one. Something like 85, 90 yards a game. That's a big average. But you know what, Lee? He doesn't score a lot of touchdowns, and he never has. He never has.
Unless he plays the Bucs.
All those years with the Falcons, it's kind of strange. I don't know. Maybe it was the routes that he was running, or Matt Ryan was looking for Roddy White some of those years in the end zone. But, you know, he just doesn't – he never excelled at scoring touchdowns. I'm not sure he ever had a double-digit touchdown season. Mike Evans has had four of them. So, Breshad Perriman, he had his day, Steve. He had his day, and that day is come and gone. You know, he's not a bad number four or five guy. I mean, he's not.
You guys brought up Perriman. When's the last time he made a play?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, the Buffalo game, he had a game-winning touchdown in overtime. But outside of that, when's the last time he made a play? I can't remember. Outside of that
long
game.
Time.
Yeah, I don't know. I just look at the guys. What are they asking him to do, and what did he actually do? Last year, they just didn't seem to want to use him, which I have to think is Tom Brady. I mean, he only caught 9 balls, but he's not even 30. And from what I can tell, he's healthy, and he plays special teams. He's still got speed. So it's just another guy on a long list of Bucks who don't have jobs, which is always kind of interesting to try to figure out why.
Steve, I'm a little surprised Tyler Johnson didn't make it. I thought he was a good draft pick. I thought he might have been a steal by Jason Light, and it just didn't work out.
And a lot of weird stuff there. I mean, he was signed by the Raiders in January, and then he was cut like 3 weeks ago, which seems hard to do, and especially when you consider Tom Brady probably gave him a thumbs up to his buddy out there, the head coach. So it's just a little bit strange. But you brought up Julio Jones, Ira, as the all-time leader in yards per game. So I looked it up, and just it's a fun list, and then we'll get out of here on this. And a couple of interesting nuggets within this, Ira, so I appreciate you bringing that up. Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford. Don't forget, Bill Curry Ford, C-U-R-R-I-E. That's the family name. That's where you go, BillCurryFord.com. Search online, shop online. They'll help you online. Sean Sullivan, the general manager, his email's on the website, BillCurryFord.com, a Tampa tradition for 65-plus years. Our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration, FloridasEliteRestoration.com. Get there, be ready for when disaster strikes your property. And Big Storm Beer, we love it, BigStormBrewery.com. Julio Jones is actually number two on the all-time list. The guy who's number one is Justin Jefferson, so a new guy.
Okay.
Three years in on the all-time list. Julio Jones is at 87.9 yards per game. Number three is Calvin Johnson. Number four is a slam dunk future Hall of Famer, unless you guys in that room are a little too biased. His name's Antonio Brown.
I love the guy.
Number four on the all-time list, Michael Thomas. Number five, Cooper Kupp. Number six, DeAndre Hopkins. Number seven, Torrey Holt. 8, Tyreek Hill. 9, Odell Beckham is tied with Marvin Harrison for 10th on the all-time list, yards per game. And number 12, Mike Evans, just ahead of Jerry Rice at number 13.
That's right. That's quite a list, Steve. It is quite a list. By the way, Justin Jefferson, Lee, who happens to be number one with a bullet, is going to be the focal point of Todd Bowles heading into week one in Minneapolis. You know it and I know it, Lee.
Yeah.
Steve, the guy that I thought might be on that list that isn't, that I think the guy's the first ballot Hall of Famer is Larry Fitzgerald. He's got to be in the top 20, I'm thinking. But I'm a little surprised he didn't make the top 12. But number 12 for Mike Evans, that's pretty darn good. I think Baker Mayfield, I don't think Baker Mayfield's going to forget about throwing to Mike Evans this year in the red zone. Canales will be all over him. He ain't going 11 weeks without scoring a touchdown under this administration. That's not happening.
Larry Fitzgerald era is tied for 42nd, so he's not in there. A little bit ahead of Steve Largent, and he's tied with AJ Green, actually. So that's how that works.
Okay. Well, I'm still putting him in the Hall of Fame.
Final word, Ira. Are you on painkillers? What are you going to eat to soothe yourself? What's going on?
I'm on Motrin. When I left the emergency room, they gave me a prescription for Motrin. Lee, I said to the nurse, can I get Motrin over the counter? She says, not 800 milligrams, you can't. So, I'm on a heavy dose, Lee. Heavy dose that might have caused me to have a couple of typos in that column, Steve. I don't want to make excuses, but I'm on heavy medication, Isbits. You're going to have to bear with me for a couple of weeks.
All right, Aaron.